Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus in 2024.
Hello. Hey, Cliff, I didn't have to press the button where it says, you know, it started. I hope it's working. Normally, like when you restart recording or whatever, I have to then press a button.
Do you?
Yeah, and I haven't had it that time. So, hey, okay. It's this new computer. It's caused all kinds of problems.
It has, hasn't it? She has two problems, of course. I didn't say my name and you haven't said yours. Do people know,
that's
though? He has an easy way to tell listeners whether you're first time or regulars. One of us is funnier than the other one. You work out who's who. But the other one.
And one's is, better looking.
But the other one's the definitely other one. Better looking. So, you know, again. Up to you.
So you're
one
the
you
funny
think.
One.
Huh? What? What are you on about? You're the funny one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Brett.
Well, yes, I'm Brett. Hello.
You are Brett, and I'm Cliff. And you know, I like the comment on your hair when we do this. It's been a month since I've seen you. It's the longest time for about 4 years that we haven't spoken to each other for various things and at various things.
Yeah, well, I haven't had a falling out on out, have I?
No, not as such.
Not as such. That's very vague, isn't it?
I know. I was affronted by something you texted us.
Well,
I thought I'll let them sweat. Let them sweat for another week.
I'll let them sweat.
Anyway, you seem to have stopped dying your hair, Brett. That's what I was about to say.
Oh, no, that's still going on.
Is it?
I'm just dying of grey now.
Grey? Oh, you dyed it grey. All right.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like the sides. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm. You like the sides, the grey sides, do you?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
You know, I'm not really a fan.
No,
it's. I don't want to get too old.
You've got a lovely head of hair. I'm almost bald. You've got a lovely head of hair.
You're almost bald.
I'd much rather have grey hair than no hair.
Yeah, well, gladly, I'm not faced with that possibility at the moment.
What I'm saying is kind of enter some kind of swap with a sorcerer and see how it works out.
Yeah, that would be good.
Hey, or maybe there's a changing room in a mall in the 80s we can go in.
there's some machine that we can put 2 pence in and that will allow our wishes to come true. I heard something funny from
Newcastle. No, Brett, that wouldn't be like a wish. If I had a wish, that wouldn't be my only wish. Just say if it was to happen, it would be all right.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm
what were you saying?
I was saying because the mags aren't happy with the manager either. I mean, not happy with our manager either. But I heard a man say something funny about the manager. What's his name again? Alfie Ball.
Yeah, Eddie Howe.
He said that he looks like a hamster that's been turned into a human by a wizard. Which I liked. Because he kind of does, doesn't he?
I suppose so, yeah. I'm not a massive fan of him. I think he's a bit boring. I think he's disingenuous, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, he pretends
that he's... manager is, isn't he? Mr. Beale.
How pretends that it's the other... He's an annoying mate. That's the one that... Oh, I don't know what he's up to, man. Of course you do. Oh, that's down to him. That nothing to do with me, that kind of behaviour.
What annoying, Nate. He's an assistant.
Yeah, that fella.
Tiddler.
Jason Tiddles.
Is that his name?
Jason Tiddles,
I'm unaware of this man, Mr. Tiddler.
Well, I wish I was unaware of Michael Beale. You know what? I've never really called for a manager to get sacked, or Sunderland manager, even if they haven't been that good. I've never really thought we should sack him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But after four games, I thought this man needs to leave immediately. He's an absolute joke.
He's clueless.
You see, and today he's had a bit of a go at the Sunderland fans in his press conference.
Well, that's the way to go, isn't it, if you want to get the sack? I mean, he's obviously not doing himself any favours at all, isn't he? He's talking about his accent and all that kind of stuff. You don't know how to do with your accent.
I know. They love that shit, don't they? If you're falling back on that after nine games or whatever it is, it's this. Steve Bruce said that about being a Geordie, like after a year of being terrible. Like, no, it wasn't. It's nothing to do with being. No, I never knew anybody mention Steve Bruce was a Geordie, a Newcastle fan. Like, ever.
It's because it didn't happen. It's just an excuse. It's just to deflect from the fact that he was rubbish, isn't it? And that's why they do it. And that's why this fool's doing it.
Don't like Mick Beale one bit. However, Brett, I keep scrolling through Twitter and he's popping up and I keep thinking it's me.
He looks nothing like you.
Honestly, I'm going to send you a couple of pictures. It does look a bit like me. Well, I'm pleased.
You don't have a massive mole on your face, do you?
Oh, I don't. That's why I've realised it's not me. That and the fact that he's in a Sunderland tracksuit giving a press conference.
He looks never like you. I've never thought that. I think
he does look a bit. Like, genuinely, a couple of times, I've been like, oh no, it's Beale again.
that's a strange thing. Nah, I just completely disagree.
But I haven't spoken to you since before Christmas. Well, thank you very much. Yeah? The most handsome of the two of us, of course. I haven't seen you since Christmas. Do you get any presents in that? I know it's a bit late for that now, but...
I got this computer that's causing a bit of...
Is it a gaming computer, Brett?
It's not a gaming computer. I play games on the Xbox.
Okay,
I generally use it for porn and, artwork.
Too many things. Artwork.
Yeah, that's what I use it for.
On the MS Paint, is that what you prefer?
Yes. So I just get it and I just do like wiggly lines.
I know, but it's best if you choose a spray paint, isn't it? That one.
It is the spray paint's always the best.
you can finish it quicker.
You can. You don't just go for the normal paint, do you? The worst is when you get one of them very thin lines. No one wants to mess with a very thin line. You can hardly say anything. Go for the spray paint straight off. Mm-hmm. So I got a computer. And other stuff What did you get?
I got some trainers. Got some earbuds. Got nice ones.
Oh, yes.
And some other bits and pieces. Some tiny aftershaves, which I asked for. So I could, I go away, I can take a different aftershave every time, like a lucky dip.
Right, that sounds nice.
So, yeah, good, nice.
Where you live, do they call them trainers or do they call them sneakers?
A lot of people will say sneakers,
Do they?
Mm.
Fools.
Not for me.
Fools.
Not for me.
It's not for you, that. So when you say trainers, they've got no idea what you're on about.
I think I'm talking about wearing two personal trainers. On my feet.
Which would be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Cut them, get them, imagine they're a bit like, I don't know why, but I'm thinking about sharks. Not sure why.
Sharks? Mm-hmm. I would like a pair of shoes that were sharks. I'm sure you could get them.
Well, that's what I was thinking of right there when I thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I liked, I don't know if you remember this, can you remember the yogurts that you used to get? That used to have like monsters' faces on.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah. They had the feet on, didn't they?
They had the feet on,
They were good.
That's why it's brought us to that.
Well, what were they called? Them. They weren't called Monster Munch, obviously, because that's something different.
No.
Oh, what was it?
I can't remember that. I wanted to say Happy Feet, but that's definitely wrong, isn't it? Because Monster Feet?
It can't have been called something as simple as Monster Feet, surely.
Well, why not? It's catchy.
Monster. I'm going to Google it while we're live on air. Monster live. Yogurts 90s. Fiendish Feet.
That was them. With the Monster Feet.
You were, yeah. They were good.
Hey, I used to love a yogurt when I was a kid.
Do
you still go in for the yogurts?
The opposite to you, I'd never used to have them when I was a kid, but I will now. And I wish there was these.
You will now.
But I used to like the mousse. There was a hippopotamus mousse.
Uh-huh.
A strawberry mousse that was with some kind of hippopotamus endorsing it. I used to like that, not the yogurts. Probably worse for you. All of the things that were worse for you, that's the ones I liked.
Nice. See, they should bring the fiendish feats back, shouldn't they?
I think they'd go down a treat, right?
Mm-hmm. They were nice.
Hippo potter moose, that's what they were called.
Hippo potter moose.
I like that.
Was it pink?
It. Yeah, of course. yeah, Brett, an area of lots of areas of Dubai are named after the things that happened in them. Very simple. So there's Academic City, where all the universities are.
Mm-hmm.
The Sports City, where there's the football stadium, cricket stadium, stuff like that.
Yes.
There's Motor City. And in Motor City, there's a big racetrack where they have various races throughout the years, right?
Uh-huh.
It's called Motor City, and it's got a big racetrack in it. One of my mates runs a pub. John, who messages the podcast from time to time, he runs a pub there. And one of the fellas I know runs the hotel where the pub is. And it's the weekend of the 24-hour. There's a 24-hour race, like Le Mans. Remember, we used to like that when we were kids because the cars were quite wide and flat. Weren't they?
Right. yes.
So there's a 24-hour race on a couple of times a year, and it's on this weekend. And it always, always results in complaints from the people who've chosen to live in the place called Motor City about the noise from the racetrack. And somebody just posted on, you know, we've talked about the community groups before. There's a British Dads of Dubai group that I'm in. I might have mentioned it. And somebody posted on before saying, lads, I'm getting a thick ear from the missus about the noise outside. Does anybody know how long this 24-hour race is going to be on?
No. So if you're going to turn up like Raoul Duke in Fear and Loathing and try and cover the race. That's what I do if I was you.
I'll go from here with this whiskey in hand. That would be good. Really tiny it shorts.
Walking like Liam Gallagher in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brett, are you back on the booth?
Hand over the thing. I am, yes. I was supposed to be doing a dry January, wasn't I? But that was completely abandoned when the derby was on.
Okay, so it
didn't go very well.
All right.
Well, I haven't been drinking throughout the week.
Okay, that's
good. So it's a bit better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all right.
What else has been going on, Brett? I'm going to fire some words at you, and you can tell us if you've got any opinions.
Fire some words at us, Cliff.
Saltburn.
Are you going to do it now?
Saltburn.
No. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Is this some finger blasting going on or something? Is that what it is?
Some
is that
stuff what the fuck like that? Yeah. It's fucking stupid, mate. It's horrible.
I haven't watched it. I don't know what it's about.
It's just about a lad that hangs out with some posh kids and posh family at university, goes to their bigger house. They're all horrible. And he basically does horrible stuff, like wanking and stuff like that. It's just all that kind of stuff. And then he picks them off one by one because he wants their life. That's it. And then at the end, he dances naked to Murder on the Dance Floor, which is why that's popular again. It's stupid. It's really stupid. But the same fella, this Barry Keoghan, is that who's from the Banshees of Inisherin fella. He's the one who gets his knob out and dancing around. But the other lad who's
joker,
obsessed
joker,
with, and he's the Joker, yeah. The other lad who's obsessed with, Jacob Elordi, who's also in the next word I'm going to throw at you. Catch this, Priscilla.
No, I haven't seen Priscilla.
No,
Well, I think you were talking about that the last time, weren't you?
He plays Elvis in it. Well, I finished watching it, so I think you like that one.
Right.
And I've got one more thing. The Postman program. Did you watch that?
I did watch that, and I enjoyed it.
That was good, wasn't it?
Really.
It's horrible, but
you know, I love the little fella and that. Don't I know
you love Toby Jones, little fella. I don't, not sure I like
Toby Jones, little fella. Well, he is a little fella, isn't he? But then when that Hart fella turned up, what's his name?
Ian Hart.
Ian Hart. It was like, well, this is just going to be brilliant now.
He's brilliant in it as well, isn't he? Because he's like, you think he's going to be amazing. A baddie, but he's not. He's got.
That's it. I was expecting him to be a baddie, but he's just class. They both are, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I know, like a absolutely horrible scandal that's still never been resolved.
I know it's destroyed people's lives, isn't it? It's absolutely horrific.
Even Will Miller from Hollyoaks and Coronation Street, he was good in it.
He was. Everybody who was in it, I thought.
Yeah, they were all good. That lass who was in Coronation Street as well, who played like the nasty post office lady who kind of crumbled at the end.
She was good in it. She wasn't in it very much, was she? I tell you what, I did watch a couple of days ago. I watched Wonka.
I've almost got to that on my list.
You almost watched it.
it's near in the top of my list of things to watch.
It was surprisingly good.
Yeah. What's Hugh Grant doing in it?
He was actually good as well. So that's a bit weird because I wasn't expecting him.
I don't mind Hugh Grant in some stuff, but it's just the character seems unnecessary to have him playing that role. That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, everything kind of fit. The songs were decent in it as well. And the songs, yeah, it's a musical, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I've obviously not known that.
No, it's a musical, but yeah, it was good. Timothy Chalamet or whatever he's called.
He good,
was good as well.
Aye. I'm not sure.
Hard act to follow Gene Wilder, I think, but he did well.
I think he's following Johnny Depp, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Johnny Depp was completely different to Gene Wilder in that film, wasn't he? Whereas this guy,
I haven't seen it to be honest. But I just did he play it based on Michael Jackson? Is that the thing with that one? Is that another thing? I thought that was the thing.
What, that he based it on Michael Jackson?
Johnny Depp's Willie Wonka. I thought he based it on Michael Jackson. I thought that was a thing.
That's the first I've heard of that.
I made that up.
But yeah, anyway, that was good. That was good. So I watched that.
Well, I'll watch it.
I've been watching The Thing About Godzilla TV show. That's quite good.
Yeah, is it?
Kurt Russell's in it.
Mm-hmm. Andy's son,
yeah. That's
is it good. Actually good? Monarch. I was a bit confused about it.
It is. I mean, I've seen all the Godzilla, newer Godzilla films, and they're all right, but I'll watch anything with Kurt Russell in, you see.
Okay.
So he's in it. I'm going to watch it.
Overboard?
Because he's that's a his handsome best one, man. Isn't it? No. It was pretty good. Escape from New York.
How many of the seven deadly sins do you think you're guilty of?
What about you?
What did you say? You just blew some smoke.
I said all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Even avarice?
We certainly drank them all in that pub.
Yeah, we did. Even avarice? Well, I don't know what that is, really. Still never worked that one out.
What?
Avarice?
Avarice? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is either.
No, nobody knows.
What is it? Is it not amorous?
Amorous, yeah. Would that not lust?
Yeah, probably. But can I remember that pub in Sutherland called Brock where they used to be able to get the
seven deadly sins? They were good, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Not there now, is it?
We went through all them. Didn't we? No, it's not there.
Well,
it was decent.
Well, that's enough rambling on anyway. We've acquainted ourselves again. Feel like I know you again now. So should we talk about Peter Gabriel?
I think we should talk about Peter Gabriel and his amazing album, Soul.
Well, tell
certainly
us
from my point of view
about it and why you chose it.
Well, I think the reason that I chose it is I've listened to it throughout my life, I would say. It was probably, I know how I've said that War of the Worlds was the first album I ever listened to. This was probably the second, I would think.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was certainly the first album I recorded for myself on the tape. So I got my dad's LP and I recorded it on a tape because I got for Christmas. Remember one of them cheap Walkman things? Ones that would like eat the batteries and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So I had one of them and I recorded it and I loved it. I think mainly what would have attracted was, or me to it when I was a kid, because I would have only been 5 or 6 or something, was definitely the Sledgehammer video. That would have attracted me as well, I think. Because, you know, as a 5, 6-year-old, seeing something like that was amazing. I remember watching it on Top of the Pops, the whole video.
I think I remember watching it on the Chart Show.
It was unbelievable.
Rather than Top of the
Pops. I love the song as well. And like I said, I've just listened to it throughout my life. This album, I think it's the best album of the 80s.
Do you?
I do.
It's
my favourite.
This is the first time I've ever listened to it properly. Ever. Or
is
not
it?
Even properly, just ever.
That's a bit strange for you, isn't it? Because
I don't know. Do we like Peter Gabriel in general?
Well, yeah. I mean, I like this album. Obviously, as I've just said, I think it's the best album of the 80s. So I like this album. I like Games Without Frontiers, and I like Salisbury Hill and those songs.
Yeah,
but like, I think that's probably about. He did a very good cover of Heroes by David Bowie recently. I think he brought out a covers album.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Did he not get the people to cover his songs in return or something and bring them out together? Sure, there's something like that.
Something like that, wasn't there? Yeah, it was something like that. But I mean,
some high concept.
Yeah. Well, he's into his high concepts and stuff like that, isn't he? He's all about promoting world
foxes on
music and all that, and he likes to put a fox's head on. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Genesis.
Why you got fox on head?
I remember I was in a pub once. Funnily enough, it was the Stag's Head. I was with my wife, and we're just randomly chatting to these people. We just met them or whatever. And I said to this fellow, "Oh, what's your favorite song? What's the best song ever written?" And he went, "Supper's Ready." And I went, "Oh, right, then I haven't really listened to that one." Listened to it the next day. It's just mental. Craziness.
Well, is it a Genesis song? I don't know.
It's a Genesis song, yeah. I think it's the one where he's got fox on, he says. I think so. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not a massive fan of, like, of the Genesis stuff, but this I think the songwriting in this album is just unbelievable. One song in particular, which is my favourite one. I just think the songwriting's just genius. So, yeah,
well,
what did you think of it, Cliff?
I think it starts amazing, and then if I never heard the end of it ever again, well, I will never hear the end of it ever again.
No, yeah, absolutely no chance.
I think the beginning of it's amazing, but I'm not keen on the end. Certainly excellent birds, but there's different running orders, isn't there? Because he wasn't allowed to put something on the end of an album or something like that.
That's right.
What I read was he wanted a song on the end, but because the end of a record's thinner than the middle of a record and it had a bigger bass line, he was like, "Oh, I better put it in the middle of the track list and then because it won't sound as good."
Yeah, because the stylus would vibrate too much or something.
Weird, but okay.
It does seem weird. But I mean, obviously, I listened to my dad's record and I taped my dad's record. And the running order obviously is different what we're listening to here, because the song that you're talking about is In Your Eyes, which is a song I love anyway. I think it's class. And that was number 5. It was like the 5th song. So, and the last one, This Is the Picture, Excellent Birds, wasn't on that album at all.
Okay, it would have been better then.
Do you know what I mean? Exactly. I don't like that song. So every song, really, was like a banger for me.
I mean, it's that excellent song. Birds one that I'm not keen on. I don't think we do what we're told. I'm not a big fan of that either. It's got a nice bass line, but I'm not keen on whatever the fuck it's about, to be honest.
It's his electronic stuff, isn't it? Because he's like a pioneer of electronic music. And you think he's one of the first to use like a sampler, like a computer.
Yeah, the Fairlight thing, right? Him and Kate Bush. So,
that's right. That's right. I think Kate Bush bought one because Peter Gabriel told her to buy one or whatever, you know. I think he even had like a company to sell the that particular synthesizer.
So it's the first time I heard it. I'm not a huge Peter Gabriel fan, but I am a huge Sledgehammer fan. And over the years, it's gone from liking it because it used to be on every compilation or every time you had the radio on in the car when you were a kid or growing up. And obviously the video is absolutely amazing. So the video is this Aardman, is that right? Animation.
It is, yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, fuck me, but it's one of the greatest pop videos of all time, like up there with Aha and all of that in what it did at the time. All this animation going on around his head while the song went on. So anyway, I've gotten like beyond that, and actually I think it's a fucking perfect song. Like before it was just a thing, like it was just, it just existed and it was, and I liked singing along to it. But
yeah,
probably in the last 2 years I've just really grown to love the song. And you want to know something that will probably make you go fuck off? Is I heard a Harry Styles cover version of it, or I watched him cover it in a live thing, and hearing him sing it, and he pretty much just did it like note for note, and hear him play it live, I was like, hey, actually, like, that sounds mint, and that's Harry Styles. And then I went back and listened to the real one, and I think Harry Styles is all right, actually, but I went back and listened to the Peter Gabriel one, and I probably listened to it almost every day for about 2 years or 3 years now.
Really?
I love it. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love the song as well. It's unbelievable. Do you think it's about sex?
Jane would tell you that it is, yeah.
It could be, like, you know, with the words and stuff like that. I think it fits in, but it could be about anything. Because that's the other thing that I like about Peter Gabriel. And this album, it's like the sort of imagery that he creates, especially in my favourite song. I mean, I love Sledgehammer Like You for lots of different reasons. But Mercy Street's my favourite one, which is like a haunting one. But it's like, I don't know, it's the imagery that he sort of creates with his songwriting and stuff, you know? It's just unbelievable. There's a part where he's talking about a warm velvet box. And I want to know what's in that warm velvet box. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's unbelievable. And I like bits of songs and stuff like that. There's a bit in that song where he says, dreaming of the tenderness, tremble in the hips of kissing Mary's lips. I just think that's fucking genius, mate. Nice. I love it.
Yeah. I
absolutely do love it.
Yeah. You know what? When I was listening to it the other day, I think that song kind of washed over us a bit. I didn't really, and you said it's your favorite. I was like, oh, I've just listened to that one, and it didn't stand out. I know Big Time, that was a single as well. Obviously not as big as Sledgehammer, but it was still a big single. So I knew that one. I know Don't Give Up, the song, the duet with Kate Bush, and Red Rain, which opens it, which I think is an absolutely amazing song. So it's always been those four that I've kind of noticed. And there's only 9 songs on the album or something. And
there should only be 8.
That voice again, I couldn't tell you what that sounds like. And Mercy Street, I obviously need to listen to that again because I didn't notice the lyrics.
Give it a listen. It's very straight. It sort of creates this imagery of being in like some kind of small village or something like that, almost like a Stephen King novel, and you can't quite fathom the things that he's saying about. He's talking about like the priest and stuff like that. He's the doctor. He can handle the shocks from the warm velvet box.
Okay,
I mean, which is fucking amazing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I love stuff like that, mate.
The warm velvet box, not not a coffin.
Well, could well be. Could well be. But what is in the warm velvet box? A dead body.
Something that shocked them. but I think that all the way through, it's the imagery and the storytelling is different to other Peter Gabriel albums. I think, I know this is obviously his poppiest album up to that point and probably ever since. And his biggest hit.
So. I think more accessible than his previous.
Still not massively straightforward, though, is it? It's not.
No, I don't think he'll ever be sort of straightforward in his lyrics and stuff like that, will he? I mean, even Sledgehammer, that's the pop song from this album, isn't it? And he's talking about show me round your fruitcakes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what does that mean? You know what I mean?
And that's like apparently Otis Redding song, isn't it? With the horns and like, there's a lot of this stuff where his voice, he hasn't got a powerful soul voice. He's got a very distinctive voice and very powerful in its delivery and how he uses it. But it's not like he's never going to be up there with like, oh my God, have you heard that singer? But there's a lot of like soul.
I think his voice is perfect, man. I think it's
absolutely perfect for this stuff. But there's a lot of kind of soul and gospel and that kind of influence in it, I think.
Well, that's the thing with like, you know, the world music sort of thing coming into it. He's sort of taking influences from everywhere, isn't he? Like Brazilian drums and
it's like Brazilian,
all
and
different
African
kinds of stuff thrown into this album, isn't it?
Right, the Talking Heads were doing the same thing, right? A couple of years earlier, and I think
and obviously Paul Simon with these African stuff as well was the same year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Exactly,
but
the same year as this.
Talking Heads and this take it a little bit different direction and a bit more experimental with it. But I think there's a bit similarities between some of the rhythm section and stuff in this and that Talking Head stuff. Mm-hmm. But like not on every song, and it's like some of it's quite subtle. I think all of it or most of them are like recognizable as normal pop songs, I think, compared to like these experimental stuff. Is there like, have you got a little synopsis of the album? Because we haven't really done that.
I have no synopsis whatsoever. I didn't even bother. It's his fifth studio album, this one. But
it's his first one
successful.
with a title.
Well, the other titles, I think he wanted the title to be so. I don't know, ambiguous, I guess. So, do you know what I mean?
Apparently, he wanted it to be called Good.
Good, yeah. And I mean, since that, I think his first three albums were just Peter Gabriel. A bit like McCartney McCartney 2. Is the four, is there?
His first
three were definitely just Peter Gabriel 1, Peter Gabriel 2, Peter Gabriel 3. And then on to sort of, you know, this is the fifth one. But the other thing I want to say, I mean, what do you think of Don't Give Up as a song, Kate Bush?
Well,
because I think it gets a bit of stick, doesn't it?
We're going to run out of time, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about when we come back in 10 minutes, because I think there's a lot to say about that song.
Yes, there is.
Right. All right. See you in a bit. Well, we're back. We had a short break, and we're going to still talk about So by Peter Gabriel, his fifth studio album. And we were going about it in a bit of an arse about tit way. We were just mentioning the song Don't Give Up, a duet with Kate Bush.
Yes.
And a lovely, beautiful song, I think.
Well, I certainly think so.
What do you think?
Well, I think so. I think it's a great song. He originally, I think, asked Dolly Parton to do it with him, which would have been a bit weird.
Well, it'd be lovely, I think.
I prefer Kate Bush. Thank you very much. But yeah, it's a strange one because at the time that this came out, I obviously it's about like failure and a man who's, you know, find it difficult to find work and stuff like that and being consoled by his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the song's about, isn't it? And at the time, I think my dad was out of work, you know, and as a little kid, as a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid, I remember going to the job centre and stuff like that with my dad. And I'm looking at them. Can you remember them little cod things that they used
to
pull
up for jobs? And, well, to be honest, I think I think my dad was out of work at that time. I think he left his job at Vic Young. And
it was Thatcher's Britain in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people where we lived in the Northeast obviously weren't treated very well by Mrs. Thatcher, were we? So, yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know if, obviously, I was only five, I was only six. I don't know, you know, if I would have taken all that in and then listened to the song and put the two together at that time. But certainly, as I've got older, I have, and it kind of reminds us of that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Might be a bit of like retro fitting that to the period.
Yeah, you know what it's possibly. About. Possibly, but it's just very strange that I was listening to this at that time, and that, was happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Though I was just a kid, it was still reality. It was still what was happening.
Yeah.
And obviously, like I say, as a young man, you know, as a young kid listening to music for the first time, I probably didn't understand what the song was about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I just thought it was a sad song or whatever.
Yeah.
But then as you get older, you know, you put two and two together. Well, it's just a strange thing. It reminds me of that.
It's nice, though. I think there's, you said it's something influenced by whatever he was reading about the Great Depression in America, which I think would have been why he wanted Dolly Parton to be part of it. Obviously, that kind of country kind
it was
of thing.
A painting or something, wasn't it? Initially.
Was it? Okay.
Some kind of, yeah. I think so.
But then, because he, quite, for being a posh man, he seems to be on the right side of politics and decisions and ethics and stuff like that. So he's, at the time, he said he's kind of, a lot of these songs, he's either putting himself in different characters or painting in different characters with these lyrics and the songwriting. And he thought that the Thatcher Britain and people losing their jobs needed to be addressed. And that's where this love story kind of came from. But I do have a bit of an issue with it, which I don't think these two very privileged people with very privileged upbringings are the right people to put them to like play act these roles that were basically roles like what our parents and our family were going through when
we're living.
Yeah, they were living it while these guys are play acting it for the sake of a single. I think is something a bit odd about that for me. I love the song, but I think I don't like that side of it.
I get that, but that's the same kind of thing that's leveled at John Lennon and his protest songs and things like that. I mean,
well, I think John Lennon was working class, or maybe he had a different
opinion. Not that at that time that he was releasing Working Class Hero or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those type of accusations are leveled at him. Same with like Band Aid and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lad at work called James, who's a very nice fella, but he doesn't like John Lennon for those type of reasons that he's singing about, you know, peace and love and he's...
Imagine
like,
no possessions. I get it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I understand it, but at least he came from a bad background and kind of lived through some shit stuff to get to that point. And, you know, they're songwriters, they're artists, they create their art in whichever way they think will... The muse takes them. I get that as well. I don't know. I just think these two are so they're like the epitome of like comfortable, like upper middle class artists that can be artists because of the family situation. And you know, I don't know if you read Phil Collins's book.
No, I haven't.
It's brilliant. There's a lot of it, but when he first, a lot of it, he's like making excuses for him being a bit of a dickhead. But when he first meets Genesis and meets Peter Gabriel and stuff, there's a lot in it about basically they go to Peter Gabriel's like family house, which is this massive mansion, and there's a swimming pool and all of that kind of stuff. And he says they're all kind of looked down at him a little bit because he's a working class lad and I'm not saying that my opinion of Peter Gabriel is tainted because of Phil Collins' autobiography, but like you can see a bit of that. And I think to get to this status where he was in the 80s and Kate Bush for me, I think Kate Bush is a brilliant musical artist, but also her background is like proper privileged. And I just think it's a weird juxtaposition. I don't know. Don't mind us thinking about fucking Babushka and stuff like that, but maybe there's some Russians who think the same thing about her for doing that.
Of this woman's work.
Yeah. But anyway, is that a thing? Right. Is that like being leveled at it before? Or am I just too sensitive?
It's not that I've heard. You're the first to bring that up. I mean, maybe I've completely overlooked that because of me love for the song and the memories kind of that it brings back for me, I think. Do you know what I mean? But it's a valid point. It's definitely a valid point. But ultimately, I just enjoy the song. It's a sad song, and I like it. And obviously, it reminds me of that particular time, which isn't a necessarily happy time or a nice time to be sort of reminiscing about. But neither's the song, is it? He's on a bridge. He's going to chuck himself in the water, isn't he, in the middle of the song?
Yeah,
but
there's a
valid point that you're making, though.
There's a few people have cited it as being helpful. Elton John said it helped them sober up. The line where she says, "Put your head on my shoulder, you worry too much," in the song, which is a bit. To be honest, I think this is a beautiful song, and I think there's that bit when that bit of the song kicks in, or when she says that, the song takes on this whole other level, the instrumentation and stuff. Which I kind of noticed because I've been listening to it in kind of close quarters with the headphones on and stuff recently. And just this piano bit comes in at that point, and it's like, I can see why people might have that reaction to it. Like, so if they're looking for some meaning in it, because it's a proper like emotional change in the song. And it goes almost this gospel kind of, like the music goes almost gospel-y. And I don't think the voices are like that. Just this little piano bit that comes in there, and it just charges those emotions after she has that, like those really comforting words for him. It's a beautiful, it's really beautiful. It's super emotional. So you can see why it might mean a lot to people, especially people who are looking for a bit of meaning. Like, this is about not wanting to kill yourself or feel worthless because you don't have a job, but is what it's written for. But Elton John saying it helped him not want to give up trying to get sober. And I think Matthew Perry said the same thing as well before he died.
Well, I think Peter Gabriel's like suffered from depression throughout his life, hasn't he? And
I think anybody can suffer that, right?
Would say to him, like, don't give up and all that kind of stuff as well. So obviously it's not just about a man, who hasn't got a job and all that kind of stuff. It's whatever you put into it
and want to
take out of it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But I think the bass throughout this whole album is wonderful.
Bass is amazing. The bass. Who plays the bass?
And I think there might be different people playing the bass, but I'm not too sure. But even at the end of this song, it goes into like a wonderful bit of bass at the end of this song.
Yeah, like just it's ends class. In a bit of a strange way, doesn't it? Like, not how you expect it. And like,
that's class.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I think
you're trying to find out who's playing the bass now, aren't
you? Yeah, I know. Well, I know the album's produced by Daniel Lanois, which I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I've always said it. And obviously now it's a very 80s sound, and people, you know, the drums and the bass and that Fairlight, which was obviously that moment in the mid 80s between Kate Bush, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, like all kind of making this sound, this. The songs all had a certain quality. A lot of that is because Phil Collins produced a lot of albums in the 80s with the same sounds. But I don't think it does sound dated. There's some stuff from the 80s that I think sounds dated, but I think this is quality, and I don't think it does sound dated. I think I get it.
No, I don't.
It's a sound that definitely come about in the mid-80s, and you know it was made then. But I don't think it's dated. It might, maybe it's come around again because like all kind of fashions and stuff do come around again. Probably 15 years ago, I probably would have been like, oh, it's probably 80s that. But, you know, I'd,
I would have been the same. Well, maybe it's not with this, but yeah, with other stuff. I agree. It's Tony Levin who plays the bass.
Okay.
On tracks 1 to 5, anyway. So I think there's like a mix of different people.
Well, Daniel Lanois produces...
yeah, certainly on this one.
He's obviously produced U2 and Bob Dylan, Time Out of Mind, which is like the Bob Dylan album in the 90s. That was his, meant to be a late career comeback, and it's like 30 years ago now and he's still making albums. But I love that. And his production is very, now it has its own style, this kind of swampy reverb and stuff like that. But at the, obviously at this point, it didn't have, like, he wasn't putting his own stamp on the production, I don't think. But yeah, like, great. What are the songs that I think, like, Red Rain, that opener, I just think is absolutely amazing.
That's another excellent song, isn't it? Like, that's got Stuart Copeland on the drums, hasn't it?
Has it?
Set of the drums.
That Laurie Anderson one, the excellent birds. Nile Rodgers plays guitar on that.
I did see that, yeah. But like I say, that wasn't even on the, you know, the version that I listened to when I first listened to it. I think it was only added like in 2002 or something like that.
Okay.
Probably just should have left that one off, I think. But I mean, I think every song's great. Every song's fast. I mean, that, you know, the last one, the electronic sort of one, that one's okay. But I don't think I'll listen to that much as a kid.
You know what? It reminds me of Roger Waters. I can't deal with it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's Peter Gabriel doing his electronic thing.
Yeah.
But as a kid, so this is how I'd listen to it as a kid, right? So it would be Red Rain, Sledgehammer, Don't Give Up, That Voice Again, In Your Eyes, Mercy Street, Big Time, that's it.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I listen to. Which, I mean, all those songs are absolutely class. I love all those songs, you know what I mean? So
yeah, that's amazing.
For me, that is how the album is.
Is it In Your Eyes?
6 year olds.
Is In Your Eyes the one with Usain Dor?
It might be.
There's one with some African singer on, right? Like, I think it's him.
I think In Your Eyes has got backing vocals by Jim Kerr, I think.
Has it? Ha! Class.
Yes. Yeah, so I think Jim Kerr's in that one. I'm sure he's in one of them anyway. Yeah. But so for me, like, all brilliant, all really good songs. But obviously, Mercy Street's my favorite. Sledgehammer, it's just unbelievable.
Big Time's good, isn't it? Big Time's proper 80s, because obviously he's like...
Well, Big Time's the complete opposite to, you know, Don't Give Up, isn't it? Big Time's about yuppies, isn't sort of, you know, I'm a way out making it and all that kind of stuff.
And the video for that is like, kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen the video, but the video is pretty iconic as well. It's just that song and videos are overshadowed by Sledgehammer,
rightly so.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like an all-time great, isn't it? Red Rain, imagery on Red Rain is just amazing, and the story behind it is pretty bleak. To open an
it's
album,
about a dream, like, isn't it? A dream that he had or something like that. People jumping like, off cliffs.
It's like,
and there were bottles.
The blood of like these dead, all these people who died out were being stored in jars, and the Earth's atmosphere was getting too hot that they burst.
What a dream?
It was like, fuck me, Gabriel, what are you on about?
You know, but that's still meant. It's a wonderful dream, even though it's crazy, isn't it? It's like, I don't have dreams like that personally, but I wish I did. But yeah, I mean, Big Time. Why wasn't Big Time on American Psycho?
I know, it's perfect, isn't it?
Perfect. Unless he wouldn't allow it, but
maybe.
It's just strange.
Have you heard his new album?
I haven't heard his new album. Have
I
you?
I think you would like it. I listened to it the other night on the back of this and talking. It's called IO, and it's like, it's basically like as if he didn't bring anything else out until after So, until now. Like, it's almost like a follow-up to So. It's got it's the same, like the cover's like kind of similar vibe, the album title is And yeah, it's like very similar in sounds and stuff like that. It's proper, it's class, like a proper, like masterful work of art for like, for this kind of artist. Like it was really, really good. But yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to it. I've never really given them that much time. I've got the first album with Aubrey Hill, Car, as it's called. The first Peter Gabriel
That's
one.
That's a good song, isn't it? Aubrey Hill.
Class. What do you think of the Erasure cover?
I don't think I've heard the Erasure cover clip.
Well, never mind. You will.
Never mind. And Games Without Frontiers as well. That's amazing as well.
I don't know that one. What's that?
It's Kate Bush. You don't know Games Without Frontiers?
No.
Oh, well, you got to listen to that one clip. It's Kate Bush is backing vocals on that, which I found out recently from doing this as well.
Okay.
Which I didn't know about.
You like
you've
Kate
you've
Bush?
Heard Games Without Frontiers. You definitely have. Jesus.
Is it just a song or an album?
It's a song.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll listen to it then.
Yeah.
Just a song. I'll listen to it. Oh, well. All right, cool.
Yes. Did you enjoy listening to the album and stuff?
Yeah, I did. Just obviously, the track listing's a bit different to what came out in the 80s, changed as things get remastered and stuff like that. I don't like Excellent Birds. Like, I'm not, just Laurie Anderson, I'm not bothered about that stuff. I don't like that fucking art, poetry, spoken word nonsense. Like, there's a place for it. I don't particularly think it's on this album, but also neither did he originally, I guess. And I read that there was some kind of dispute. She's got a version of it on one of her albums at the same time. And I think they disagreed on whose song it was or what was better.
Right.
And she's got it on an album and it's a different version of it. And he's got this version on this. And apparently they fell out over it. This is quite bass heavy, right? And she was like, I can't hear any bass in this song. I don't know what he's talking about. And then has like a different, it's just very strange. But I mean, she that was married to Lou Reed.
So why didn't he just get rid of it? Because it does the album no good anyway.
No, it's not for me.
Originally, unless he's just putting out a piss
away. I think he's probably added it just to add a bit of that kind of out there-ness, which he obviously kind of known for before that. So it was
but it doesn't need it though, does it? It doesn't need it.
Well, you've got that. I think if the album ended on We Do What We're Told, I probably would be all right with that. But I think it comes in the middle of the thing and I'm like, what's this doing after that? After a Big Time, it's this. And then there's that experimental one with Laurie Anderson just saying daft words. And then it goes to In Your Eyes. I'm like, where have these two songs come from in the middle of it? Like, it's damn.
Well, that's it. That's what I mean. Like, that wasn't the case when I was a kid. You know, I didn't listen to the last song. Mm-hmm. Excellent Birds wasn't on. And In Your Eyes was, you know, fifth track on the album. It's much better that way because all the songs are great.
Yeah.
Just have it that way.
Nice. But, have you got a quiz?
There you go. I have got a quiz now. This is complete. I haven't read it back anyway. It's we're supposed to do a film a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? Surviving the Game.
Well, yeah, but it was on my box and then it disappeared. Now I can't get it.
Well, I fucking watched it anyway. And I did a quiz. So this is a survival quiz, Cliff.
Okay.
For you today.
All right, nice.
Right, the question number one. What are the 10 essential items recommended by the hiking and scouting organizations for safe travel in the backcountry?
Backcountry?
Yeah. It could be backcountry.
My God. We're in backcountry.
Back to fear and loathing again.
a compass.
A compass? Navigation. That's one of the things. So you need something for navigation.
A Swiss Army knife? That probably takes about five up.
Well done.
A flashlight?
A I'll give you that. A headlamp.
A headlamp, okay. Boots.
I'll give you that. Extra clothes.
Extra clothes, all right. A rope?
Mm. Rope. Rope's not on there, Cliff.
Well, I think they're missing. I think they should have 11 on this list and put rope in. what else? Water. Hydration.
Yeah, extra water.
Yeah.
They've extra. Already assumed that you brought
extra.
Water.
Yeah. But I was already going to bring 5 liters extra.
I didn't bring any more.
Bring extra. Bring extra. Well, I guess.
So if you've got extra snack, water, Cliff, you need
some
extra
food. Extra food, of course. What would you take? Pom bars?
You're missing three. Missing three.
I've said a knife. I've said a compass. I've said extra water. Extra food, a headlamp.
You didn't see a headlamp, but shall I tell you the last couple?
Is it something to do with like thermals or something like that?
No, it's not thermals. It's sun protection.
But I'm going.
You could have said hat.
I'm under the canopy.
No, you're not. You're out in the wilderness. First aid and fire.
First aid. What the fuck?
So there you go. But you did quite well. I think you'd survive quite a long time.
Probably.
You just haven't got fire, sun protection, and first aid.
2.5 months.
So if no happened to you, right? If you didn't get injured or eaten or anything, you'd be fine, I think. And that's to your credit, Cliff.
First aid.
There you go. Which band had hits with Eye of the Tiger and Burning Heart?
Well, nobody knows the second one, but they're called Survivor.
You don't know Burning Heart?
No.
Wasn't that on one of the Rocky films as well? I think it was.
No idea.
There you go then. Survivor Man is the 11th episode of the 4th season of what American comedy?
What? Survivor Man? Oh, Survivor is it The Man? Office?
It is. I knew you'd get that one.
Have you seen? You don't like it, right? Have you seen that one?
I've seen a lot of it because Lennon's watched it about 20 times.
Honestly, that one's class when he's documenting himself going into the woods, and it's about 20 minutes, and
it was obscure, but I knew you'd get it.
Yeah, I think he's like ripped all his clothes up and stuff, but he's like it's about 15 minutes after I get there.
Well done. I knew you'd get that one. That's why I put that in. Which WWE event is normally held the Sunday before Thanksgiving?
I think this used to be my favourite one, Survivor Series. Was that the one where they had four, like teams of four, like double tag teams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to like Royal Rumble. I think that was my favourite one.
Chaos, isn't
where they used to have to chuck each other out the ring.
Yeah, and then every 30 seconds be like, and somebody would come running in.
And then Doink the Clown would come in.
Just from under the mat or something like that, yeah.
And Pat Ashango. Yeah.
Couldn't do that now.
So well done. Which game was the first to be given the survival horror tag? So which computer
survival
game?
Horror. Resident Evil? Yeah.
Well done, Resident Evil. You get this last one right, Cliff, and you've got them all right. Can you believe it? Right. What is the name of Bob Marley and the Wailers' 11th studio album?
Survival?
It is. Well done, Cliff.
In the last year, I've become Dubai's number one survivalist.
I don't need first aid. As long as you remember that sudden protection that you forgot about, Cliff, you'll be fine, won't you?
I think I've survived here without
it. It's essential. It's essential in Dubai, I would imagine, in the desert.
It is, actually. Jane takes it very seriously.
I'm sure. But hey, well done there.
Thank you.
Oh,
that was good. That I like that. It's been good catching up again after so long, a month.
Yes, it certainly has.
Well, we're going to finish with some music from my brother's band. So they're called Amateur Ornithologist. And he's also a massive Peter Gabriel fan. So either he'll be happy that we talk about it, or there'll be loads of complaints about all the stuff we've got wrong. but he's not like that. But he'll probably just cringe at the stuff that we've got wrong. Well, this Daniel, amateur ornithologist. Am I saying that right? I feel like that's not right. But
Amateur. Are you saying amateur?
That's how I would pronounce it, yeah, ordinarily.
Would you?
You say amateur.
Yeah, I would say bluntly like that.
Amateur.
Amateur. I would say it like Stephen Hawking.
I know, you know what? Whenever we start,
What do you think about him being in the sex rooms and that?
I've never been a fan of the man, so not surprised.
Have you not? You weren't surprised. Weren't surprised. But there you go. Anyway, your kids band, amateur ornithologist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it happens every time we start talking about bands, it descends into us going, how do you say that name?
You?
What? He is normally,
yes, your kid's got a new album out, hasn't he? It's called Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out, well, it was out 12th of January, isn't it?
Still is out.
And this is a song from it. It's called Time to Talk.
Yes, so here we go. See you later. And it's time for us to talk once more in about a week's time.
You haven't yet.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.